This is a series that the Lord's put in my heart about the basics of our faith. And so often people don't even know what the basics of our faith is. They think just coming to church and praying at an altar. People get saved and they leave. They don't even know what happened to them. And we have so many people that are living without the basics in their life. And I just encourage you that you have got to establish fundamentals in your life. The basics will keep you through hard times. If you establish the basics in your life, it'll help establish you in your walk with the Lord. We talked in the first week about worship. Worship is loving the Lord your God with all. Worship is not just the song that we sing or the first part of the service. Worship is a lifestyle. It's worshiping the Lord our God with everything, loving him with all. And worship is the battle for your affection. There's a battle for the affection on the earth right now. The world's trying to get our affection, and God says, hey, I want your affection put on me, and that's worship. Prayer is the battle for attention. Prayer is the battle for attention. Next week, I'm going to talk about serving. Serving is the battle for action. It's calling us all to action, and we all need to be servants. And then we'll do a week on the Word. The Word is the battle of authority. See how these are all starting with A? Giving is the battle for your assets. But these are the basics of our faith. Worship, prayer, serving, the Word, giving. All these are the basics that have to be in our lives every day. And I want to talk to us today about prayer. And we started the series, we started a couple weeks ago talking about prayer, because prayer is the battle for our attention. Who has your attention? When you wake up in the morning, what has your attention? Whose attention do you have? We have to start off our mornings getting God's attention and giving God our attention. It's a basic fundamental, and if you don't establish these as basic, if you think just coming to church is enough, you've sadly missed it. You failed. There's more to that than just coming to church. This is a daily relationship with the Lord our God. Prayer is the battle for attention. And when we do that, we have to realize that the disciples, I want to teach you about the disciples. They came to Jesus in Luke chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, I'll read to you from a New King James. But go to Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Luke 11 and 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place that when he ceased, that one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner or pray like this. It's important to know that Jesus didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray, he expects us to pray. It's important to note that. Prayer makes the atmosphere better. I don't know if you could sense it when you walked into the sanctuary this morning, but this is a house of prayer. And because we pray in this place all week long, when you come in, you can sense there's something different about the atmosphere. This isn't church as usual. This is a church that wants to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the way that happens is through prayer. Prayer doesn't always make everything better, but prayer makes you able to deal with it better. When you live a life of prayer, prayer doesn't always change others, but it always changes you. Prayer will always change you. We started to look at and unpack Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. This is the Lord's Prayer. And all seven, I got 7 points to the Lord's Prayer, and I want to talk to you about the Lord's Prayer. If you have your Bibles, flip with me now to Matthew 6 and verse 9. All 7 parts of the Lord's Prayer will start with the letter P, because P is for prayer. And prayer is the basic fundamental that needs to be in every believer's life. The place of prayer is the place of power, and everybody needs a better prayer life. I don't care if you pray all the time. You need a better prayer life. I need a better prayer life. And the Lord's Prayer is so powerful. In Matthew 6, in verse number 9 through 13, he said, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. These are not just words to be repeated. If you begin to read your Bible and look through the New Testament, Jesus taught his disciples in this manner pray, but you're never going to find where the disciples prayed this prayer. he was teaching them that this prayer is a topical outline that impacts every area of our life. He's showing them that when you come to pray and when you come to meet with me, I want you to learn these truths and apply them. It's like an organic whole that everything that we're going through in life fits into the Lord's Prayer. It gives us the ingredients that should be in our prayer. They should be in our prayer. I believe God wants us to realize everything that we're going through in life will fit into the Lord's Prayer. Everything. The first part of the prayer is the paternal part. This is our Father. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Our Father. This is the brotherhood of all men. This reminds us that it is our Father. This is not just about us as individuals, but this is us to get a global mentality. That people in Costa Rica and people in Mexico and people in Nigeria and people in Kenya, where my future son-in-law is right now preaching the gospel in Kenya with Daniel Kalinda, over 200,000 people came to faith in Christ before they even started the meeting in Kenya. It's our Father. This is not an individual thing. This is every one of us realizing that we've got to tear down the walls of denominational barriers that say this is a Pentecostal thing or this is a Baptist thing or a Nazareth thing, a Nazarene thing. This is our Father. And so when you pray, it's the paternal part of our prayer, our Father. When you understand the concept of fatherhood, you understand that you're not praying to an angry God. You're not waking up every day and trying to go through this list of repentance stuff, of all this stuff, because God's the judge and he's going to judge me. If you see your father like that, you're never going to be able to receive him as the fatherhood that he is. When you approach God in the mornings, you have to get a picture of God smiling at you. That God is in heaven with a smile on his face and he's looking forward toward the meeting. See, prayer is not talking to God. Prayer is talking with God. And so when you meet him and you begin your prayer with our Father, you begin to say, God, I thank you for the calling on our lives to reach out to others. And you are my heavenly Father and I love you. And you begin to smile, it changes everything. The second part of the prayer is the presence part. This is where we're at today and I'm going to go through these and I hope it'll encourage you. This is the presence part of the Lord's Prayer. He said, hallowed be thy name. This means the name of God is holy. When you come into prayer, you establish him in your heart and your mind as your Father. That's the paternal part. But the next part is declaring him as holy. This is the presence part. Remember, you're not asking God for anything yet. You're not just trying to get through this so that you can get to your list of stuff you want God to do. This is like this whole thematic thing of the Lord's Prayer, acknowledging our Father. And then you say, holy is your name. And you begin to meditate upon the names of God. You're just taking some time to set the atmosphere. I'm not trying to tell you that everything needs to be timed out. You do 3 minutes on this part, 3 minutes on that part. You just begin to let the Holy Spirit lead you as you get in his presence, and you begin to acknowledge him as the presence of God in your life. Don't rush through it. Don't rush through prayer in the morning and just try to get it in like you're trying to check your list off. Prayer is this relationship with God. Hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. God's name in the Bible is translated for every need. For every need. There's so many different names of God in the Bible. And when you say hallowed be your name, you're bringing inclusive all those names of God. There's the El names of God. El Shaddai. El Shaddai means the God Almighty. It reminds us that he's all-powerful. He's the mighty one. He's the 911 God. Psalms 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. You can find refuge in his shadow. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. El Shaddai. He's the El Elyon God. He's El Elyon, the Most High God. He's Elohim. These are the El names of God. Elohim, there's so many. I'm just doing a few of them. Elohim refers to the incredible power and might of God. And when you need a breakthrough in your life and you need the Lord of the breakthrough to show up, you begin to cry out to Elohim and say, God, you're the God of the breakthrough. There's incredible power and might in your name. Elohim reminds us that he is the one and the only God. He is supreme, the true God, in a world that offers more than one God, in a world that has so many little g gods. God reminds us that he is Elohim. He is the one and the only God every single day. His amazing power is when the sun rises in the morning and when we look out over the Gulf and we see the sun setting over that water. That is Elohim. That is our mighty God. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you look at the Hebrew, that word God is Elohim. He's whatever you need him to be. That's who he is. God's name is translated in so many ways. Moses encountered God at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And he asked God, he said, "What God, what is your name?" And God replied in Exodus 3:13. Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. I am who I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Moses asked God, "Who are you? What's your name?" And God said, "I am. I am. I am. I am whatever you need me to be. I am your strength. I am your shelter. I am everything that you need. I am that I am." Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to make the sacrifice, to lay his life down, and he begins to pray. And I understand, like, there's so many people that say, when you pray something, just pray it, and no, don't pray it anymore. Just operate in faith and just stand on God's word. I agree with that. But don't tell me you can't keep praying something. Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." He goes back to his disciples, and they're sleeping. He says, "Hey, wake up. Couldn't you pray? Are you sleeping? You jumped when I clapped. You got it? You awake? Stay with me, girl." He goes back and he prays the same prayer. He prays the same prayer. He goes back. His disciples are sleeping. And the third time, he goes back and he prays the same prayer until he prayed it through. And when he got his prayer through, they came to get him. They came to get him, and they showed up to take him prisoner. And Jesus sees them coming, and he just doesn't sit back and wait. It says he saw them, he knew what they were coming for, and he said, "Who you looking for?" They said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am. I am him. I am." And the power of the Holy Spirit hit them, and they were slain in the spirit. You read it. They fell down on the ground. Jesus walked right up to them and said, "Now I said, who you looking for?" They said, "I'm looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am that I am. I am he." God has a name for everything that you're going through in this life. You get over in there and you start looking at all the names of God. Yahweh means the Lord. Yahweh is derived from the Hebrew word I am. Then you get over into the covenant names of God. All this is coming out of "Hallowed be thy name." You get over into the covenant names of God, and you start understanding covenant. See, when you understand covenant, Bobby and I have covenant. That means everything that I have, she's taken. No, that means everything that I have, she has access to. And those of you that have separate bank accounts and separate phone IDs and all that mess, you need to get it together, because we are in covenant. Everything that I have, she has access to. And everything that she has, I have access to. We are in covenant. Covenant means something. It means something, and it means something to God. When God says, "I want to cut covenant with you, I want to make a covenant with you," meaning everything that I have, you have access to. Guess what? We didn't win. God didn't win in that one. Huh? He made covenant with us. Everything that we have, he has access to. But we win in that, because we have access to everything that God has. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are in covenant with a mighty God. And he gives us covenant names. That means there's no lines. There's not many people in this world that I have made covenant with. I've made some with. I've made some with, like, I give you certain access to some things in my life because of our friendship. But covenant is all. Access to every area of my life. Access to anything that I have. When God decided to make covenant with us, we win in that. Hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. So let's look at some of the Jehovah. Let's look at some of the covenant names of God, or Jehovah names of God. The first one is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Jehovah Jireh, this is all in. Hallowed be thy name. We rush through this stuff and we don't even realize who we're talking to. Who we're talking to. This is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That this dresses God's provision for his people. We talked about it in worship in Genesis 22 when we talked about Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain, and Isaac looks over at Abraham and his father and he says, "Hey, Dad, I see the lamb. I see the lamb and I see the fire and I see the, but he said, "I see the fire and I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah Jireh will provide. God will provide. In verse number 14 of Genesis 22, Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And I want to say to everybody, God's enough. Jehovah Jireh, God is enough. You think somebody else needs to promote you? You think somebody else needs to give you a promotion? Somebody else needs to bless you? I'm telling you, it is your Heavenly Father that knows your need before you even ask of it. This morning, we went away yesterday, or day before yesterday. When did we go? We went away. We went to the bubble room where you took us to, Pastor. We went to the bubble room up in Sarasota and spent the night last night. And when we came home this morning, I was looking for my toothbrush. I couldn't find my toothbrush, and I'm yelling to the other room, "Bobby, where's my toothbrush? Where's my toothbrush?" He said, "It's right there on right by the sink." And I'm looking in my little toothbrush dish. It ain't in there. But she had already took it out of the toothbrush thing and had laid it on the sink with the toothpaste right beside of it. But I couldn't find it. And she yells back at me. She had no idea what I was preaching today. She yells back at me, before you even had a need, I already knew what you was going to holler for. Huh? That's covenant. Abraham's going up the mountain with Isaac, and on the back side of the mountain, God was sending a ram up the other side of the mountain. Before you even know what you need, God says, "I am and I've got you." Jehovah Jireh, your provider, knows what you have need of. Amen. Another covenant name of God is Jehovah Rapha. It means your healer. He is your healer. It's not the elders that heal. It's not me that heals. It's not some faith evangelist. The Lord Jehovah Rapha is your healer. And you have access to him every morning that you wake up and say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Jehovah Rapha, my healer." He is your healer. Isaiah 53:5 said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed." Amen. This is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And he not only heals our physical bodies, but our emotional life too. Our relationships. He is the healer. Jehovah Rapha reminds us that God knows that we're in need of help, and he understands that we're in need of healing, and he promises to redeem the broken places of our lives. The broken places of our lives. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. The third one is Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. See, this is where it gets so confusing sometimes, because we think we got to sanctify ourselves. Like if we dress right, if we act right, we just do it. And you got to get this out of your head, and you got to realize it is God who sanctifies you. Yes, you got to work out your salvation. You got to work out your sanctification. And there is a process. But I realize it is not by my might. It is by his power. It's not anything that I have done, but everything that he has done. That's who sanctifies me. And when you get that and you understand, he's Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. In Leviticus 20 and verse 8, he said, "I am the Lord who sanctifies you." This is not a dress code. Huh? The Lord is my sanctifier. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. And I'm not better than anybody, but I'm not like anybody else. When you pray this prayer, it means you see yourself different. This is why I pray for people when they're mean to me, when people are speaking against me. I pray for people. You know why? Because God takes it personal when people mess with his kids. He's Jehovah Makedesh. He sanctifies me. He's watching over me. I don't have to defend myself. He's my great defender. Amen. Amen. Jehovah Shalom. Number four, Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is my peace. The Lord is my peace. My situation may not be peaceful, but my situation is not my peace. The Lord is my peace. See, the water gets turbulent at times. The waves are crashing in at times. It seems like the boat is rocking at times, but the boat is not my peace. Jesus is my peace. He's in my boat. He's in my ship. And when I realize God is in my ship, he is Jehovah Shalom. He's the peace that passes all understanding. Jehovah Shalom means nothing missing and nothing broken. And I have to declare that over my life every morning. Jehovah Shalom, the peace of God be in my life. It means everything that it needs to come into my life is coming. Everything that I need to be successful is coming. You think you got here by accident? Uh-uh. God needed you to be in this church to help this church become successful. We're going somewhere. We're taking territory. We're speaking into the powers of darkness and declaring, let my people go. God sent you here, and everything that we need to be successful is coming to this house, and everything that needs to be sent away from this house is being sent away. You got to get that into your spirit. Everything that God needs to get to you is coming to you, and everything that needs to go from you is leaving from you. Jehovah Shalom. God is able to give us peace that passes all understanding. Number five, Jehovah Roi. Jehovah Roi. Jehovah Roi is the Lord is my shepherd who cares for his people. I have to think about this all the time, that God's protecting me. God's keeping me safe. Driving on these roads, you need Jehovah Roi. You need him to protect you and keep you safe. Listen, here's a thought. If a sheep meets a wolf, the sheep is in trouble. But if a wolf meets a shepherd, the wolf is in trouble. Jehovah Roi, he is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Psalm 23, Jesus said, I send you out as sheep amongst wolves, but the Lord is my shepherd. He said, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. His rod draws me close, and his staff beats the devil away. Amen? A couple more, okay? I'm trying to hurry. Jehovah Tsidkenu. You spell it T-S-I-D-K, he got it up there for you. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is my righteousness. It's the Lord who makes me righteous. It's not anything I have done, but everything he has done. It's not something that I did, it's what he did. Jehovah Tsidkenu makes me want to do the right thing. He's my righteous. He makes me want to do the right thing. He doesn't force me to do the right thing. I'm not living right because I have to. I'm living right because of Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is my Lord. He is my righteousness. Amen. Number seven, Jehovah Shammah. This means the Lord is present. Everybody that has experienced lonely times in your life, lift up your hand. If you've ever felt loneliness just creep in, I don't know, I can't understand how it happens. I'm surrounded with people every day. And even 2 days ago, I called Bobby up on the phone. I said, where are you at? She said, I'm finishing, I'm dropping off the dry cleaning. I said, can you come home? She said, yeah, I'm coming home. She said, why, what's the matter? She said, I don't know, I'm just lonely, come home. I'm surrounded with people. I'm on my phone all day long talking to people, but loneliness will just creep in. And I have to remind myself, I have to just continue to remind myself, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. I can't depend on her to meet my need. I can't depend on her to take care of that loneliness. I have to remember the Lord is with me wherever I go. The Lord is present, the Lord is with me, and I'm never alone. Number eight, last one is Jehovah Nisi. This means the Lord is my victory. The Lord is my banner of victory is what it actually means. He's my banner of victory. The winning team gets a banner. The name Jehovah Nisi comes from when Moses was in battle with the Amalekites. You remember it? And Moses' hands got tired. And Aaron and Hur lifted up his hands. And as they held up his hands, Joshua's sword was working. But when his hands went down, his sword wasn't working, and the enemy was prevailing. So they got rocks, and they propped him up, and they held up his arms. And as long as Moses had his hands in the air, they were winning the victory. I want you to know something. Coming into church and lifting your hands is just not something we do. It is actually God getting the glory out of our lives and saying, Jehovah Nissi, you are our banner. When Moses' hands were up, his sword was working. Some of you, I just need to teach this for a minute, because some of you are so animated at home watching a sports event, everybody has to leave the room because you're so excited about everything that's going on. And then you come into the house of the Lord, and you got your hands in your pocket. And you're sitting there thinking that somehow God's getting the glory because you came to church, when I'm here to tell you, he is your banner of victory, and your hands up, you're winning. I'll never forget, years ago, we had the privilege of having Mahesh Shavda come to our church. He's a prophet, still alive today, still doing great things. And Mahesh Shavda came to our church, and he's got a real rough voice. The pastor asked me to go up and do the announcements. So I went up to the platform, did all the announcements, and I tried to bring the energy level in the room up, praise God, and rah-rah, and getting everybody all excited. And then I came down, I sat by pastor, and pastor went up, introduced Mahesh Shavda, and he came up, and he just started singing and just lifting up the Lord. He said, everybody lift your hands. So everybody lifted their hands, and I was lifting my hand, and I was praising God. And all of a sudden I hear, get your hands out of your pocket. And I'm like, man, somebody needs to get their hands up in the air. And he screams again, get your hands out of your pocket. He talks real rough. And I'm like, hey, man, somebody better do that, man. Get your hands up. And I opened up my eyes, and I looked, and Mahesh Shavda was looking right at me. He said, young man, get your hands out of your pocket. I went, thank you, Jesus. I threw my hands up. I was so mad. I didn't cuss. I don't cuss, but I was mad. I was like, God, what's wrong with this guy? Man, he's too old. He needs to retire. I don't get it. Like, what's he yelling at me for? I was just up on the platform. I'm sitting on the front row with the pastor, and he's screaming at me. I was so mad. He thought I was in an intercession. I was like, oh, geez, I'm mad. No respect. Just a few minutes, He said, everybody lift your hands to the Lord. I put my hand up. He said, get your hands out of your pocket. I went, thank you, Jesus. I didn't even look that time, Rick. I was like, okay, thank you, Jesus. Amen. But because you know what? This is a symbol of victory. Even in fights, when somebody wins a championship belt, what do? They run around going, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. And we come into the house of the Lord with our hands down, our heads down. Worship's going on. We're just looking around. We're not even entering in. What are we doing? We're sending a message to the enemy. I got him. Let me just tell you another thing. Listen, you can't make your children serve the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. You could train your children to serve the Lord. When we go eat with our grandchildren, they got tablets for each kid, so the kid will play on the tablet. And they want them just to, not to talk to anybody, don't throw anything, don't break anything. Here, play on the tablet. And we let them play on the tablet. And we come to the house of the Lord, and that's just what we're doing for our children. It's like we just sit there and let our teenagers play on their phone, texting, just going. It's like, what are we doing? Listen, this is not the church's fault. You got to understand something. You have to train your children in the way that they should go so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. You have to teach them. When you come into the house of the Lord, you lift up your hands and you declare, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. You clap here, you clap everywhere else. How come you can't clap at the house of the Lord? I'm just telling you. Listen, it doesn't happen anywhere else. You let your children have to go to court, and they will if you don't train them right. You'll be sitting in there in court. But when they come into court and the judge walks out there on the platform, everybody, first time offender, fifth time offender, prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, don't matter who you are, you will stand and acknowledge that judge just walked into the room. Why? Because I'm just telling you, when we refuse to praise and worship God, our children, and we show our children that's who we are setting a precedence for their life. And we're showing them that you can be in the presence of God and not acknowledge it. And it's got to change. You need to teach them. need to teach them how to acknowledge the presence of God. The way that you respond to something has something to do with the way that it's viewed. Hands lifted is a symbol of victory. I tell you what, you ought to wake up in the morning and step out before you get in your car. Just throw your hands up. Say, hey, oh, you're my victory, Lord. Today's going to be a great day. Great day when you get in the parking lot of church and you're getting ready to come into church. You ought to throw your hands up in there. Why? Because this is a symbol of victory. The devil can't read your mind. He's not omniscient, omnipresent. He can only read what you display and the words that come out of your mouth. So you got to start declaring, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. Come on, give the Lord a praise, everybody. Okay. All right, real quick. I'm just going to go through these really quick. Number one, part of the Lord's Prayer is the paternal part, our Father who art in heaven. Second part is the presence part, hallowed be your name. The third part is the priority part. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It has to become priority in your life. God doesn't want to be on your list. He's number one. His kingdom is the most important thing. Priority. You can't let anybody else have priority in your life. I pray this all the time because the earth, we're made of flesh. We're made of earth. Out of the dust of the ground, God formed man in his image and in his likeness. And we are earth. And so when we pray this, we say, as a priority, your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, the only place that God's will is contended is on the earth. It's not contended in heaven. God's will is not contended in heaven. It's the priority. The fourth part is provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Lift your hands and say, God, give us this day our daily bread. What you're asking, God, is for provision for the day. For provision for the day. This comes from the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness and God gave them manna. And he said, you could take as much as you want for today, but don't take for tomorrow. Tomorrow you wake up and say, give us this day our daily bread. This is what God wants for you and I, that every day we say, God, give us this day our daily bread. When you live this way, you'll put your flesh under subjection to the power of God. Give us this day what we need. Give us this day, the provision part. Jesus said this in John 6:49, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, that he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give the life of the world. Give us this day our daily bread. Number five is pardon. This is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you were old school, when you prayed the Lord's Prayer, you said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This speaks to forgiveness. Listen, forgiveness is not optional. It is intentional. You have to be intentional. And let me tell you something else about forgiveness. You have to pray this all the time. You know why? Because people are repeat offenders. Huh? Hurting people hurt people. And so you have to constantly be going to the Father and saying, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. It's not optional. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. It doesn't mean that they're wrong and you're right. And it doesn't mean you're right and they're wrong. It's not the same as trust. Just because I forgive somebody doesn't mean I have to trust them, okay? But I have to forgive them to release me from the pain of that. Until you forgive them, you're going to carry that pain. You become subject to the tormentor. Forgiving you frees me. I know it doesn't make any sense, but that's God's kingdom, and that's the way he set it up. And so you have to choose to forgive. You have to pull it up from the roots. You have to symbolically pull it up and say, God, I just cast this unforgiveness away. I guarantee you in this room right now, let me just do this. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes for a second. If you're carrying unforgiveness in your heart because of something your father said or did, something your mom did, something somebody did to you, and you're just struggling with unforgiveness, you really are having to find a place of forgiveness because of that pain. It's like it's constant. If you were to see them in the store, you'd turn and go the other way because of that pain of unforgiveness. If that's you, just lift your hand to the Lord right now. Just say, that's me. I've got it. All over the room. All over the room. Everybody look at me. Put your hands down. Look at me. This is critical to our faith. This is the basics of our faith. And I know it's more than just saying, I forgive. It's actually getting into the place with the Lord where you say, God, I need you to help me release this. It's not fair. It's not fair. You don't have to keep looking for fairness. Just keep looking to Jesus and say, I choose to forgive. If you know you've got that in your life, you need to wake up every morning and say, God, I choose to forgive this person. I choose to forgive them. Listen, I made a commitment in my life, and I pray you will. I'm not going to live mad anymore. I'm not going to live mad, Rich. I have made a decision in my life. Jesus isn't mad at me, and I'm not going to live mad. And I've been hurt by a lot of people. And I will continue to be hurt by a lot of people. But they don't own me. They can't control me. Amen? Bobby says, you're always trying to cut corners. I don't feel that way, but she blames me that all the time. But it's like, you're not going to change me. That's who I am. I'm just telling you. And I'm not going to live mad, and I just encourage you, don't live mad. When you think about how much God's forgiven you, you forgive others. Amen? Six is power. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We must have the power of God in our lives every day. Every day. Wake up first thing in the morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Hear me. This is not words. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, into my life. I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to keep doing that, and one morning you're going to be laying there, and you're going to say, good morning, Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden tongues is going to start flowing out of your mouth. You're going to receive a heavenly prayer language from the Father, and you'll begin praying in the Holy Spirit, because there are things that are coming into our lives that we don't know, and the Holy Spirit already knows, and he's your counselor. So you wake up every day and invite the power of God into your life, Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Anybody, I don't care who you are, every person in this room, let me just tell you this. Anybody can fall into temptation if they're put in the wrong circumstance at the wrong time. Don't get so prideful that you think you got it. Oh, I got it, man. I'm a mighty warrior. I'm faithful. I'm God's. Listen, you better stay on your face saying, God, fill me with power. Amen? Fill me with power. Last one is praise. You close the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. This is the praise. And when you and I pray and we finish, no matter what you're praying about, when you pray in Jesus' name, when you get to the end of that thing, you ought to end it with a praise. Thank you, Lord, that this is going to be an amazing day. Thank you, Lord, that you've empowered me to succeed. I thank you, Lord God, that you are with me and for me. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. And then he finishes with amen, which basically means so be it. Yes and amen. So be it, Lord. It means I agree with it. Amen. If you believe that, stand up on your feet, everybody. Come on, give the Lord a praise. That's a lot to get through. That's a lot to get through. That's a lot to get through. But that's the Lord's Prayer, man, in 7 points. And I just pray that you grabbed us. Thank you. Thank you. That's from the Lord. That's for all of us because this is the basics. You worship the Lord your God with awe. You pray in a relationship with the Father. You're growing that relationship. You're maturing that relationship. And today I'm so excited because there's some people in the room that your heart's not where it needs to be with the Lord. I'm excited for you today because God brought you here to hear this message because God wants to transform your life. First time I prayed the prayer, you know, I prayed the prayer and I went out, I was so encouraged. I got so attacked by the devil, man. I was just so beat up that next week. I was just like, man, I didn't feel like, what in the world? But as I've grown in my faith and I realize it begins with confessing the Lord as Savior. That's the starting place where you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ is risen from the dead. And then comes this process of walking with faith, getting around young men that are on fire for God, and young women that are on fire for God, and growing your faith. And some of you, you're not at that place right now. You're surrounded with so much evil, and it's just overwhelming to you. And I'm just here to tell you, I want to begin the journey with you today. I want to begin the journey with you. If you're not where you need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want him to be Jehovah Nissi for you. I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, I know I'm not where I need to be, but I know that God, you're calling me to a deeper relationship. Hands are going up all over. Just lift them up. Just lift them up. Come on, God sees your prayer this morning. Thank you, brother in the back. Thank you. Hold them up strong. Everybody, ushers, if you have those cards, do you have cards? I want to get a decision card in your hand right now. Just lift it up. Unashamedly, hold it up. There's probably 15 to 20 people lifting their hand right now. Just lift it up. Say, God, that's me. I know that you're calling me deeper. You're calling me out of my past and into my future. I trust you with my future, God. I'm going to give you my life. Romans 10:9-10 said, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ is risen from the dead and you shall be saved. This is the beginning place for all of us. And then comes the process of applying the basics every day. Worship, prayer, the word, serving, giving. This is a part of our lives every day. And we don't do it out of obligation. We do it out of this amazing love for the Father, that we love him because he gave himself for us. Everybody, if you have that card, just hold it up right now. Just hold it up. I'm making a decision in my faith today, Lord. This is what you say by lifting your hands. I'm making a decision of who I'm going to be. Everybody pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know you died for me. I choose to live for you. I give you my entire life. I make covenant with you. Everything that I have is yours, and everything you have is mine. I receive your love. I forgive myself, and I choose to have you forgive me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Before we get busy trying to leave, everybody slip your hands up to the Lord, and let's worship the Lord just for a minute.